Well, there was a brand new taxi cab driver, and the first day on his job, he was driving a passenger who was in the back seat. The passenger tried to get his attention, but the taxi cab driver couldn't hear him. So the man in the back seat reached through and tapped the fellow on the shoulder. The fellow was so shocked and startled, he drove the car off the road into a ditch. And the fellow, the passenger in the back, said, "I'm so sorry, all I did was just tap you on the shoulder." He said, "Don't worry, it's not your fault. For the last 20 years, I've been driving a hearse." And when somebody tapped me on the shoulder, I thought somebody had risen from the dead. Well, in today's gospel, we have Jesus raising someone from the dead. Take a look at this gospel. It's very short, but there's so many beautiful details in St. Luke's account. Remember, St. Luke is a physician. He's a medical doctor, so he's very interested in these kind of miracles and miraculous occurrences. So it says that the Lord was approaching a city called Nain. It's only a very short distance from Nazareth, where Jesus had spent so much time. The Lord is walking, and he has his 12 apostles. He has a huge crowd with him. Certainly hundreds, maybe even thousands of people were walking along with the Lord. And they come to the gate of the city of Nain. And you can still go today and see some of the ruins of this city. And from this city gate, there was another large group coming out. And it was also a very large crowd, St. Luke says. So here you have the two crowds meet, Jesus and his disciples and his crowd sort of approaching the city, and they meet this other funeral procession coming out. And the funeral procession was for a young man, because Jesus calls him young man when he raises him from the dead. Well, the woman was, the mother was a widow. And so we have this case where all the people were there in the funeral procession. And normally in those days, you would have lots of people, the whole town, the whole village would come out as well. And they would also participate in the procession. And many of them would bring flutes or cymbals or other instruments. And there would be a lot of wailing. In fact, there were even professional wailers in those days that you would hire. And they would go and they would wail at your funeral. And then they would go to the next one every week, and that was their job. That were professional mourners. And they would make a lot of commotion, so you had a lot of noise and flutes and all sorts of cymbals and other things. But the Lord sees what is happening, and he stops the funeral procession. Have you ever tried to do that? It's not always well received. Imagine you see a funeral procession of 50 cars. Imagine you put your car right in front and stop. People aren't too happy. Well, the Lord stopped this funeral procession at the gate of the city, and he sees this mother who's a widow, and he sees that this is her only son. And the Lord was moved with compassion. He was moved with pity and mercy because she was, again, a widow, and this was her only son. She'd already lost her husband. She was alone. And in those days, they did not have Social Security or any sort of help available. So most likely, if she had no other family member, she would be reduced to begging and trying to just have enough food to be able to survive on. So the Lord sees this woman. And when you read some of the writings of the church fathers, they say perhaps the Lord was moved because he thought about his own mother, the Blessed Mother, and that he was the only son of her. And she was a widow at the time as well, because Saint Joseph had already died. So perhaps our Lord thought about his own mother, how she was in the same situation, that he was the only son of a widowed mother, and he decided to work a miracle. He decides to stop the funeral procession, and it says he is moved with pity. The original Greek word here says that he was moved to the depth of his being. His whole heart was broken when he saw this. And so he stopped them and he addressed her and said, "Do not cry anymore. Do not weep." And he went over and he touched the stretcher. It wasn't really a coffin. It was not an enclosed coffin. The Jewish people did not bury in those kind of coffins in those days. And it was mostly be a like a stretcher, and four men would carry, the bearers would carry the man on the stretcher. And so Jesus stops them and he reaches out to touch the stretcher, which would have made him ritually unclean, but the Lord didn't care about those things. He was willing to touch the stretcher, and he says, "Young man, I tell you, arise." So here he is, Jesus, the Son of God, God himself, who has power over life and death, says to the young man, "Come back to life." And immediately, St. Luke says, the man sat up. Remember, St. Luke was a doctor. It was the same word that if a patient, you know, sat up in their bed, that would be the same word that St. Luke used as a doctor to say that this man immediately sat up and he began to speak. And then it says, Jesus gave him to his mother. And perhaps he said something like, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." Perhaps he said that. Those are the words that are written right here. "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." Those are the words that Jesus would say to John the Apostle at the foot of the cross. So it says he gave him back to his mother. And the whole crowd was filled with amazement and fear and excitement. And they began to glorify God, saying, "Truly a prophet has arisen in our midst. God has visited his people." So notice, as Jesus being the Son of God, look how he worked a miracle. He has power over life and death. So much different from that first reading when Elijah came across the widow whose son had died, and Elijah is there praying three times over the son, praying that God would raise the son from the dead. And God does work a miracle. But notice, that was Elijah praying that God would work a miracle. With Jesus, because he is God, he could just walk up to a corpse and say, "Arise." And this dead man came back to life. So I think what we should take from today's gospel really is how much the Lord loves us, that Jesus is so filled with compassion. His Sacred Heart loves us so much. Yesterday we had the feast day of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And Jesus reveals how much he loves us and how much he has mercy and compassion upon us. We also see that Jesus is aware of our human suffering. If you've lost a spouse or a parent or a child or a family member or a friend, the Lord knows what that's like. He is there with us in the midst of that suffering, because he himself lost Saint Joseph, his foster father. The Blessed Mother knows what it's like, because she lost her husband and her son Jesus when he died on the cross. So God is not aloof from our human suffering, because God became man in Christ. He knows what it's like to be part of humanity and to experience loss. And so that's why it says he was moved to the very depth of his being, and he had compassion and pity upon this poor widow. So we see Jesus having power over life and death. And then St. Augustine, in his commentary on this passion passage, says that, think of the joy of the mother, the joy of the mother to have her son returned back to her. And St. Augustine says that, of course, in heaven, we have that desire and look forward to seeing our loved ones again. The joy of heaven, to be reunited, God willing, with parents or spouse or children. This is a great joy that occurs in heaven. But then he also goes on to say that the joy of the mother is experienced by Holy Mother Church, whenever one of her children comes back to confession. And it's an interesting insight that the joy of the mother when her son was physically raised from the dead is a little reflection of the joy of the whole church, and the church is our Holy Mother. Whenever people go to confession on Saturday afternoons or Mondays, whenever you go to confession, somebody could be dead in mortal sin and come back to life. Every time we go to confession from mortal sin into the state of grace, that is a resurrection. And that's why one of my favorite hobbies is raising people from the dead. And I do it every Saturday afternoon from 4 o'clock to 5:30. It's one of our jobs as priests, is to raise people from the dead. They come into confession, perhaps in mortal sin, and they go out, raised from the dead in the state of grace. And St. Augustine says that just as that mother experienced great joy in seeing her son raised from the dead, so Holy Mother Church experiences great joy whenever her sons and daughters come back to life after going to confession.